seems to be the trick.
That's working.
Fabulous. Let's help to have a pointer. Okay, so this is for me. Yeah, that'll do that. Great. So you may or may not remember that we are still, or have been doing, our series in Ephesians. So today the particular passage we're looking at is Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. And the title of this is New Creation, Being a New Creation, Living as a New Creation, that kind of thing. So we're going to start. There you go. We've got four people there. So what do all these four people have in common?
They're dressed up.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So that is the key takeaway from this. You could probably read into some other things they have in common, but really that's the essence of what I was going for. So for the benefit of those on the recording, are we recording?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, hello people on the recording. We have pictures of people dressed up on the screen. So we have a policeman. Number two, if any of you are Queen fans, you'll know that's Freddie Mercury, or someone dressed as Freddie Mercury, the key point there. We have someone dressed as a Mad Hatter, and we have someone dressed as a Superman, or, yeah, just a Superman himself. So when we see the first person, what is the first thing we think of when we see them?
You mean the man dressed up as a policeman?
Yeah, yeah. So what do we think? First impressions?
Law and order.
Yeah, yeah. So that is, yeah, that's certainly part of it. But in terms of when you see these people, obviously they are people in themselves, but you see them by what they're dressed as. So you see a policeman, even though, let's say, that person there might be called, I don't know, Ben. you see a policeman, okay?
Right.
So these people have taken on the identity of something or someone else by what they're wearing. They've put something on, okay? Which leads us on to our next. Yeah. So this is the passage. So just remember that, what we've just done there, as we go throughout today. Yeah, I'll just read out the passage today for everyone so you can hear it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the kind of two things I want to focus on today, as the title is New Creation, is two things that scripture, those verses pull out. So it's telling us to put off the old man and put on the new one, okay? Two main pointers. And kind of the first chunk there, if you like, is talking about people who are wearing the old man, and then the next chunk is saying, right, if you put on the new man, great, it's going to be like Christ. Okay, so what is the new man and the old man, right? So this is something that crops up in scripture a lot, saying putting on, yeah, well, we'll just explore. So what is the old man? Okay, so the old man essentially is Adam. Okay, so Adam is the person in Genesis, that the first man that God created. Be in mind when I say old man, okay, that's inclusive of women as well. That's just the paternal context that scripture is written from, okay? So that includes, you could say, yeah, man, woman, okay, everyone. So, Adam first appears in Genesis, and it says here, let's read a little bit of Genesis. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created it. He created him. Male and female, he created them. So as we can see there, originally, Adam was created in God's image. Okay, so at that point, he wasn't the old man. But then when he was tempted by Satan through the snake and subsequently Eve, he sinned. Okay, and so at that point, that created separation between God and man. And that meant, there's what you might hear as being called the fall. And that essentially means his disobedience resulted in separation between humanity and God, and as a result, he became the old man in terms of later on for when Jesus comes. So let's see what we can say about this. So basically at the fall, our spirits became dead, okay? Our soul became rebellious, and our body became corruptible and subject to decay. So, we're a being made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. All of those three things fell and became separated from God, distant from God, okay? Which meant we were out of relationship, out of communion with him as a result of sin. So, because of this, there was a need for the spirit of man to be redeemed, okay? The need for the soul to be restored, the body to be surrendered to God, and this is when we come into the importance of the new man, okay? Which is what we're going to be focusing on today, who, as fully God and fully human, could fulfill this, could redeem us, okay? And I used to find it a really hard concept to grasp when you say Jesus is fully God and fully human, okay? And some people call him God with skin on, which I can see why, but to me that doesn't quite work, because you're basically saying, okay, internally he's God and externally he's human. But I see it more, Jesus experienced temptation like we do. He experienced everything, our desires, our motives. Like, he took on our humanity fully, not just the skin. Okay, and so I used to think, oh, maybe it's 50% God, 50% human that he took on to make 100% a whole person. But again, that doesn't work, because he was fully God and fully human. There's, to a certain extent, you have to understand that you can't get your heads around that concept other than just trust that he was fully God and fully human, okay? I've lost my place. So Romans 5, verses 12 to 21 highlights the importance of having the new man, Jesus Christ, come to earth to die for us. But I'm just particularly going to pick out verses 12 and 18, otherwise it would be a long passage. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. That's good, eh?
Yeah.
That's what we live in. That's what we live under, if I can put that. And that's our position now. So even though before we knew Christ, we would have been condemned because we were living according to the old man, since we've been saved, we have come into the goodness of what Jesus has done, okay? One man's act of righteousness that led to justification and life for all. Because it says here, comparing Adam and Jesus, for just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. That's what we're under now, okay?
Yeah.
We are in right standing with God. Fully acceptable, whole, above blame, above all condemnation because of what Jesus did in coming to earth. Initially as a baby, as we've talked about today with the Advent, and then he grew up And yeah, his work at the cross is what accomplished that for us. So I think that's all we need to say really about that for now. So as believers, we are a new creation, yeah? Because we're no longer living under the power of the old man, but the new man, okay? So let's see what I can say about this. Yeah, even though our decision to accept Jesus into our life was an event in our life, we still need to make a daily decision to put on the new man, as Paul says in verse 24 in Ephesians. Should we go back to that to have a look? Verse 24, the last verse. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what he's telling the church in Ephesus, okay, the believers there. So it requires a daily decision, yeah? So I heard somewhere once that salvation is a gift to us when we first made that decision to come under and into everything that Jesus has accomplished for us. And then sanctification, which is the Christian word for becoming more and more Christ-like, is kind of in our court, really, in the sense that we have to make a daily decision to put on Christ, to work out in our daily life to become more like him, okay? So, let's just go on to the next slide. What does the new man look like practically, okay? Because we're saying, okay, we need to put him on. Paul's saying we need to put him on. And, obviously in the first slide we saw pictures of people who had put on fancy dress outfits, okay? So they took on the identity of someone by putting on physical clothes, okay? Nowhere in scripture, as far as I can tell, has Jesus told us to put on his physical clothes, okay, to become like him, okay? It's a lifestyle that we put on every day, okay? And just as you bring it back to basics, when you get up in the morning and before you're about to leave the house, you don't take your pyjamas off and then just go, okay? You don't streak. You put on clothes, okay?
Yeah.
You put on clothes to cover up, you put on clothes so to keep you warm, because that's the thing to do, yeah? And sometimes I think we can forget that actually spiritually we need to do the same, okay? Every time we get up, part of our daily routine, might not be in the morning, although from my experience that's the best time to do it, is you put on your spiritual clothing, okay? And your spiritual clothing is just my way, I suppose, of saying, you know, you put on all the truths about you in scripture, who you are in Christ, you put those on. You don't streak spiritually, okay? You don't just go out of the house in the morning and think, you know what? No, like I'm not gonna starve myself of what's in the word today, or I'm not gonna remind myself, I'm not gonna put on my identity in Christ, you know, what is it, the helmet of salvation, was it the breastplate of salvation, helmet, or you know, the full armour of God, for example, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, I should know this, we're taught this from about the age of five, but that's an example, okay, so putting on the new man is what one might also call sanctification, okay, which means becoming more Christ-like, maturing in Christ. Because putting on the new man means you are constantly making decisions that make you, more Christ-like, okay? So, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17, it talks about the character of the new man. So, you know, what does this look like? So, Colossians is also a book in the Bible that Paul wrote, and I'll just read it out. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Okay, so there's one. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, okay, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And it goes on a bit, but I'll just leave that there actually, because that's quite a lot to digest. So, but, you know, so what have we pulled out there? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, sorting out a complaint. If someone's got a complaint against you, sort it out, forgive them. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Okay, it's interesting that, isn't it? The bond of perfection, love. And, you know, when you just read that isolated, you might think, oh, that sounds quite legalistic, and that, like, how can I possibly do that? Like, because, you know, we've all been offended by someone. Probably a lot of us have been betrayed by people. And when you're in that moment where it's like, okay, this is what Scripture says, but to actually work it out is another thing, isn't it? And that's not something we can do in our own strength. You know, forgive people when they've hurt us. I know from experience that's not, yeah. You can't just, sometimes things people have done against you, to just like, be like, oh yeah, I'm going to forgive them. It's not a piece of cake, is it? But the reality is, you know, we do have to put on Christ, and sometimes we just have to make that decision to forgive them. Because we experience then, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, like, there is something, if we don't put on everything of Christ, it can be a boundary to us receiving from Christ, the fullness of who he is, okay? And we all constantly need to be reminded of that. But you can't, like, pick and choose bits of the gospel. It's like, oh, I'll put that bit of Christ on today, but I won't put that bit on. Yeah, I'll be kind today, maybe, but tomorrow I'm not going to forgive this person. Or, yeah, like, Jesus expects us to put on the whole of him, just like the people in the first picture. The policeman didn't just wear a police hat, right? He wore the police jacket, he had a baton, probably had the handcuffs there somewhere. Like, he had the full gear on. And that's what Jesus wants for us, to have his full identity on us. And, you know, that's something God reveals to us step by step. Sometimes when you're reading Scripture or listening to Scripture, you'll just be convicted of something. You know, you'll just feel like, yeah, I need to do this, or I need to do that. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, bringing you more and more Christ-like, putting on more Christ's clothes, if I can put it that way, to become more like him. And yeah, I know some of these things aren't easy, but the reality is, you know, I'm sure it wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross, you know, let's be honest. But he did, and he experienced the ultimate betrayal. He experienced the ultimate hate, the ultimate separation from God. He carried all of our sins, yeah? So really, when you put things in perspective like that, and I know it's difficult when you're going through something, but if you can just distance yourself from that for a minute and just think, okay, yeah, really, what did Jesus experience that I could live in the fullness of who he is? Then it becomes much easier to take on Christ's clothes. Anyway, so how can this Christ-like character be outworked in our lives? So very practically, through our worship, okay? So I'm just going to read something from James Smith, who is a theologian who specialises in theology and the arts. And his book, if you're interested, is called You Are What You Love. Okay? So, where do we start from? Just going to read it out. The great reformer Martin Luther once said, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. We become what we worship because what we worship is what we love." Interesting there, okay? Link between worship and love. Do you remember we just explored that love is the bond of perfection?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what you love, you channel, you direct your worship towards, okay? Let me just say that bit again. The great reformer Martin Luther once said, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God." So what are you clinging to and confiding in today, yeah? Because that is your God, okay? It might be something, it might be someone, it might be a lifestyle. Or, yeah, you'll know what it is. And it might be that it is God, and that's great if that's the case, okay? We become what we worship because what we worship is what we love. As we've seen, it's not a question of whether you worship, but what you worship. which is why John Calvin refers to the human heart as an idol factory. We can't not worship because we can't not love something as ultimate. Okay?
Oh.
So I suppose it's your understanding of worship. What is worship? Is it something we simply do here on a Sunday morning, or something you do when you just sing to God? Or is worship more than that? Maybe it's not something you thought about before. And that's fine if that's the case. We're always learning. But worship, again, is a lifestyle. Worship is being surrendered to God. There's many things you could say what worship is. It's obedience to him. But it's interesting, the connection, right, between worship and love. So you can see what you love by what you worship, what you spend your time doing, what you spend your attention on. Yeah, so that was just an interesting connection. And interesting, yeah, just Psalm 135, a few verses there, says what can happen when we worship the wrong things, okay? So Psalm 135, verses 15 to 18. The heathen worship idols of gold and silver made by men, idols with speechless mouths and sightless eyes and ears that cannot see, they cannot even breathe. Those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. So that's interesting as well, what you worship you become like. Again, we've been talking about putting on Christ, putting on the new man, okay? So what you worship, yes, what you love, but it's also what you end up becoming like. So, and it's true, like if you put on a fancy dress outfit, like let's say you put on Freddie Mercury, you'll probably want a microphone and go like this. Like you do become, like you step into the act, don't you?
Yeah.
And the same can be said of Christ, okay? If we're daily nourishing ourselves with his word, we step in to that identity and that's what people see as well. Just like you see people who wear fancy dress, you see, oh yeah, like he looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, that's
you don't say he is Freddie Mercury,
no.
Just as you wouldn't say of us, right, you're Jesus, I'm Jesus. But you say you're like Jesus.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah?
It's good.
So there's, yeah, it's quite a basic analogy, imagery, but it can be quite helpful,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So worship is cultivated through habits. So we can see the importance of worship then, can't we? In terms of our discipleship, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, discipleship is cultivated, probably by many things, but one thing is through our habits. And habits are formed over time. Habits are some things that, let's be honest, we don't want to do some things that are habitual. Don't want to brush my teeth sometimes, to be quite honest. You know, when you're trying to get out of the house, you've got, you know, that extra 2 minutes counts for a lot, especially when you've got an electric toothbrush, right? Because it's 2 minutes timed, so you've got to go the full 2 minutes. You can't just do a quick brush and be like, right, out of here. So you've got to do the full 2 minutes. And, you know, maybe the first day, if I don't brush my teeth, okay, yeah, I've got a bit of fur on my teeth, can, you know, taste a bit of food in my mouth, but ultimately it's only me who realises. Day two, of not brushing my teeth, you know, people might just start to think, oh, her breath smells a bit, or, you know, her teeth look a bit yellow, or maybe that's over a few days, or, other people start to notice if you're not brushing your teeth, okay? Long term, tooth decay could be a very high risk of that, okay? And it's the same spiritually, okay? So if we come out of the habit of not brushing our teeth spiritually, okay, so if we think, okay, right, I've got 5 minutes, no, I can't like just turn to Jesus for a minute to feed myself on his word right now, I haven't got time, or not feeling what I want to do or anything, maybe the first few days you notice you're a bit like, you're a bit slow in your spirit, and you're just a bit like, I don't know, your mind's not on God at all, and you're just feeling quite heavy maybe. And then after a few days, probably other people will start to notice. Yeah, because our discipleship is not just about our relationship with God, but about our relationship with each other. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Very good. Very good.
We've been saved into eternal life with Jesus, but into eternal life with the priesthood of all believers, as they call it, with you know, with our fellow believers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just about you and God, it's about you and everyone else around.
Very good.
Yeah, obviously, particularly believers. Yeah, anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so they would, yeah, other people would notice, start to notice after a few days. And yeah, those people can come alongside you and encourage you and everything, which I'm sure at times we do to each other. But that, you know, that's the important, that's just as a result of getting out of habits, yeah? You start to spiritually, not maybe spiritually decay, but you become spiritually slovenly. You become spiritually not got your finger on the pulse. But yeah. And you know, that's not what Jesus has won for us, yeah? Every day, yes, Jesus has won all of this for us. When I say all of this, redemption, which includes redemption of spirit, soul, and body, okay? But if we're not implementing habitual practices in our life that set aside time for God to feed on that, to nourish ourselves, then, well, you're missing out, actually. And you're not living in, probably not going to be living in all the fullness of what he's accomplished, because you'll be spiritually weak. And so, yeah, I mean, my experience is, you know, sometimes spending time with God each day, it's like, can't really be bothered. I'm not saying that because I'm proud of it, but just because that's the reality sometimes. And then you might have a few days like that, but then something you suddenly hear something from God, whether you're listening to scripture or reading it, and it's like something speaks to you or encourages you, and you're like, oh yeah, like that's quickened my spirit, that's awakened me a bit, and you start to feel yourself just kind of arising a bit. And then that discipline then turns into desire. I find it's kind of like a cycle: discipline, desire. And then you find the next time you spend time with God, it's like, oh, like I'm doing this because I want to, because I heard from you from the last time. And then, yeah, and I find it often just goes from discipline to desire.
That's good.
Yeah, safe to say I've never desired to brush my teeth, but but at least, you know, spiritually speaking, when we apply discipline to our lives, we can experience desire with that, yeah? Okay, so, yeah, we are called to be like Jesus, put on Jesus, new man, become more Christ-like. And obviously we can do this as well by looking at Jesus' life in the Bible, his earthly life, when he walked the earth, what did he do? Did he create habits? That's a good question to ask. Was he habitual about stuff? It says in Luke 5 somewhere that he drew aside regularly to pray, I think. So regularly suggests it was often, there was a routine, and it was something he had to instill, he had to draw away. He wasn't just walking alongside praying, you know, walking along and praying, although he probably did that as well, but he had to actually intentionally draw aside. So he had to make space for God. And, you know, we can say that in our own lives as well. We have to make space for him, because stuff comes up, you know, life happens, and before you know it, it's been 3 days and you haven't spent time with the Lord at all. And yeah, there's no condemnation, but you're missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. There you go, I did put that scripture down. Yeah, similarly, a believer's spiritual walk with God is not automatic, okay? Your salvation is, like when you gave your life to God, he made you perfect, he positioned you in heavenly places before him because of what Jesus did, yeah? But your sanctification, your maturing in Christ, yeah, is not automatic, okay? That's something that, yeah, you cultivate the time for. Yeah, God works in you. I'm not saying you try to, like, make yourself sanctified or anything like that. It's not like that at all. But when God speaks to you, he puts deposits in your spirit that enable you to grow, yeah? He plants the seeds, and then I suppose part of the watering of that seed is spending time with him, because then that gives him opportunity to then speak to you again and grow that seed. So I think I've been speaking for about half an hour, so I'm going to stop. So I'll finish with a question as part of the response. So what or who have you put on today, okay? I'm not saying you to share with me, I understand. You probably wouldn't want to do that.
Clean your teeth.
You've cleaned your teeth, you've lost. So obviously, we saw the people at the beginning. Someone had put on Freddie Mercury for that day, or probably for that night. Someone had put on a policeman's outfit. And yeah, those are very literal things, and I'm not I'm not talking about that, okay, we've all come dressed physically as ourselves by the looks, but you know, spiritually, maybe emotionally, mentally, what have you put on today? Is Christ number one? Have you put on Christ in all of those departments, in spirit, soul and body today? Maybe you don't know. You know what, that's fine. That's a great place to start if you don't know. Because we're always learning, we're always growing in Christ. But I think honesty is the best place to start. And yeah, just coming before God and saying, not sure if I put you on each day, Jesus. Not sure if I put you on much at all, really, to be honest. I think I'm streaking in the Spirit. And, you know, if you're streaking in the Spirit, yeah, you're probably going to... Yeah, that's not very pleasant for other people. And you're probably going to get embarrassed after a while. So, you're protected, yeah, as well. You're protected putting on Christ. So, if we have any streakers in the Spirit today... then we, okay, that's all right. And there's probably all days where we streak in the Spirit a bit, but you know, let's not do that. Okay, let's put on Christ each day. And and you know, some of the stuff you read in the Bible, it's like, I don't know what that means. I'm like that, even though I've been a Christian for however many years, and other people who've been a Christian maybe for many years, you still read stuff in the Bible, it's like, yeah, don't get that, that seems weird. And, you know, when you have questions like that, yes, you can ask people around you, which is great, but also just ask God as well. Being like, Lord, I don't understand what's written here. Like, that just seems absolutely nuts. Or I'm not quite sure what you mean here, Lord, show me. And I often find sometimes it's over the next few days, maybe, that God might show me. Mm. And so, yeah. Really just, but yeah, if you're not making time for him to receive from him, then he can't get across to you. So, yeah, anyway, I'm just going to pray for us. And, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Hopefully that was okay. So, Lord, thank you that we can put on Christ. Thank you that that's what Paul was saying to us in Ephesians and we don't have to live in the old man, according to the old man, according to the customs of the world, but we can put on you and we can experience the fullness of your redemptive work, Lord, when we do that. So I just pray for everyone here, whether we've put on Christ today, maybe we've just put on a shirt of Christ, if I can use that analogy, or shoes of Christ. We've not put on the full outfit. Or whether we're just completely streaking in the Spirit today, Lord, and we've not put on Christ at all, I just pray, Lord, that you'd just put a desire in each one of us to get us going, to start with, I pray, Lord, that we'd want to actually put on Christ. And, Lord, I pray, yeah, just as you speak to us in the coming days, Lord, that would just put a desire to build these habits into our lives, to spend time with you, to spend time with the other believers around us, and yeah, to just have a spiritually healthy life. I pray for spiritual health,
yes,
in this congregation, in all of us, and Lord, that would outflow from us. That people would see, they'd look at us and be like, yeah, they're Christ-like. They put on Christ today. And so yeah, I just thank you, Lord, that you just lead us deeper into your truth, no matter how familiar or unfamiliar it might seem. But I thank you, Lord, that you make us more Christ-like. Amen.
Amen.